The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
I'm on with Jim Fox of the LA Kings. Great to be able to chat with you again, Jim. The last time I talked, you were recovering from an operation.
Yeah, hip surgery. I had a hip replacement, right hip replacement on June 20th.
As many hockey players do.
Yeah, not quite back to 100% yet, but I'd say 99%. Right there, just knocking on the door.
It's pretty impressive, the technology that we got for that, though. So it's good. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah, it was very interesting to me, all the pre-op stuff. And I went to prehab first just to kind of get it going. And then the surgery, you're down. I was down. I had the surgery on Wednesday, and I was at the gym on Saturday.
Isn't that nuts?
I was just doing upper body work, yeah. Things of that sort. It was pretty painful for the first 5 days, but to be honest, after that, it just really started to improve every single day.
Yeah, I mean, the hockey players, you know, the skating motion is the death of the hip joint.
It just is. I tried it for years, and I could go north-south, but the pivoting just went through the roof. I couldn't even move. It was so painful. But I would have to say, no pain left whatsoever. So that's great.
Congratulations. That's good news. On the subject of pain, I've been watching these Kings. It's been pretty hard, huh?
It has been. I think the expectations were certainly a little bit higher. There's been a few bumps in the road.
For sure.
But I personally thought coming into the season, when everyone would be healthy, I thought the Kings had a better roster this year than they did last year. Having said that, I know during preseason games I said I felt exactly what I just said, but I also felt that there was a lot of other teams, especially in the Pacific, that got better. But the Kings have not played up to expectations. There has not been that secondary group come through. Some of the top guys, I think, I'm not going to say they've struggled, but they have not played as well as they have in the past. And then you add that all up together. Of course, you have some injuries with Jonathan Quick out, Dustin Brown to start the season. But you know what? Every team is going through that. I mean, Anaheim's going through it right now, and they're winning games. They've had even probably more injuries to more impact players. So it's something you have to deal with. And right now, of course, it cost John Stevens his job. Yep. It's now on the player's shoulders to figure this out and get it going. Willie DeJardin's coming aboard, trying to implement a new feeling more than anything else, not necessarily a new system, but a new feeling, and that passion and compete aspect, which people felt had gone away from this group. So it has to be done. The first day Willie DeJardin joined the Kings, it was very interesting. I thought the most truthful thing he said was this: it's very important to build trust. It takes time to build trust, and we don't have time. So that's the situation the Kings are in right now. They've got to get it done now.
Yeah, you know, that's the hard part, is you're trying to, you know, push chemistry as the, you know, as the focus, and you can't, chemistry can't be forced. It has to be there.
It's something that, you know, you have an idea, and I agree. I don't think you can manufacture chemistry. I think it just happens. There is a plan to it. You can look for different styles of players. You know the personalities of players, but I don't think you ever know if it's going to work as far as chemistry. And when it does come together, you don't tinker with it. You let it go. And I think if you do try too hard to manufacture it, you just dig yourself a deeper hole. So, you know, let's if we're going to be honest, this group is in a transitional phase. They have still an amazing core that won two Stanley Cups. It's an aging core.
Right.
So that's a concern. But the again, that secondary group, the loss of players over the years, which is no different than any other team, salary cap, for whatever reason, players are no longer here. And you've got to deal with it. And so far, this group has been unable to. The thing that's maybe most worrisome is we knew that the Kings want to be more creative. We know they want to play more up-tempo. Sometimes that's personnel. Sometimes that's system. Sometimes that's both of those things together. But they've struggled not only with that, but in trying to transition to that new style or new system. Their defensive side has really struggled, and that is the biggest key. The foundation to this group is solid defense, and unfortunately, so far, it's getting better. The last three games, I think the Kings have been much better on zone, but you know, early in the season, it just really was not that good.
You know, last night they lost, but I thought they played a decent game. You know, they played the Minnesota Wild last night, and I have to say, they just weren't sinking the puck in the net, but they looked like a much better team last night, even though they lost. What do you think?
I mentioned during the broadcast that I felt, from both teams' perspective, it was one of the best, as I say, well-played game I've seen so far this year.
Yeah.
And you know, part of that is because, in all honesty, the Kings have been blown out of a lot of games, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 goal deficits, those types of games. I guess 2 goals. That was not a blowout, but there have been some games where they were beaten soundly. But I certainly felt that after the game against the Wild, both Bruce Boudreau and Willie Desjardins could look at their teams and go, okay, it was pretty well played. When you lose, you're always looking for things to improve on. And maybe when you win too, you're looking for those tweaks that you have to put in. But it was an outstanding first period for the Kings. I heard people talk about it today, and that old thing that comes into the back of your mind is the Kings have dominated periods before, but you know, they had a 1-goal lead, then it was tied up. Kings should have been out of that period with a 2 or 3 goal lead. Didn't happen, and then it was a soundly played game the rest of the way. It really tightened up late second into the third, and that's where I give the Wild a lot of credit. In the third period, their positioning was exceptional. The Kings tried to make their way through the neutral zone and couldn't do it.
No, they couldn't get in. Then every time they try, it was really frustrating. The Wild's a good team, obviously. The defense is their game, and that made it very hard for an offense that hasn't been so on par, you know, to do well. But I still thought the Kings played it well. I think they put some things together last night. They stopped the Wild. You know, the Campbell had amazing saves. It was a well played game, as you said. It was a really good NHL game.
I think it would be not only a lesson for the Kings, but maybe a little bit of an incentive, because a lot of people feel that the personnel makeup of the Wild and the Kings is very similar. Hmm. The Wild are not considered a fast team. They're considered a heavy team, a bigger team, especially up front. Now, where the Wild excel, and they did last year, and they're doing it again this year, is what you were talking about. It's back on the blue line. I mean, their defensemen are outstanding defenders, but they attack. They come at you, and they come at you in waves. And that's what separates them from a lot of teams. But if you look at the makeup of their team, I think the Kings could say we're very similar in makeup, and yet the Wild's record is vastly different, vastly better than the Kings.
Yeah, no, they're doing well.
Sure. You know, everyone's saying the Kings are too slow, all that. We've been hearing that. And, you know, I guess a lot of the bigger teams in the Pacific are finding it very difficult right now. But when you see a team like the Wild, you go, okay, they're kind of built like us, and maybe we can apply some things and get better and improve.
You know, it's interesting. We had we talked to Doc Emrick a couple nights ago, and he was telling us about a conversation that Barry Trotz had with Ovechkin the summer of 2017, where he said, look, you know, there's a lot of people complaining about our team. You're getting older, and they think you're part of the problem. You know, and he basically said, you're going to have to work on your conditioning. You're going to have to work on being faster. You're going to have to work on, you know, setting the other guys up. There's so many things that you have to do better. Even though you're an elite player, I'm asking you if you really want this to be different, to, you know, I'm paraphrasing what Doc said. And, you know, when you think about it, you look at guys like Kopitar and Doughty and Dustin Brown. These are, and even Ilya Kovalchuk, for that matter. I mean, these are guys who've got years behind them. They've been in the game. But, you know, they do have to work on conditioning. They do have to work on, you know, basic skills things and do them at a different level. Even though they're champions and they're amazing, if they want to compete, I think that there is a lot, like, that conversation really rang true for me of watching these guys who are, you know, past their 30th birthday. I think about Corey Perry before he got hurt, and Kessler, and, you know, guys I watch a lot because I go to the Ducks games frequently. You know, even Getzlaff. I mean, Getzlaff looks like he has been hitting the gym and doing things differently, because otherwise, how do you compete with these guys that are going 150 miles per hour? You know, guys like Barzal and Anders Lee, and, you know, these guys, and even looking at like Getzel on the Penguins. I mean, these guys, they fly. They're so fast, and it makes a big difference if you're not up to that level.
Well, one thing that they do have now is they have testing and testing results, and as far as we can tell, the results are top notch.
These guys are in shape. They're doing everything they need to do.
Historically, they're as good of, if not better shape than they were in the past.
Right.
When you test them, and when you put them through the various tests that the teams do. So,
did Desjardins say anything when he got in that was, you know, that was really earth shattering, that said, here's how we're going to do this?
He didn't do it that way. The one thing I liked, or his summation of what he felt the issues were with the Kings, and he just felt that it was a team that had a lot of success and that maybe got used to doing the little things so much that they morphed into not doing the little things as much as they used to.
Hmm.
It became so second nature that it almost became taken for granted.
Wow.
And that was his assessment, because, again, he looks at the group, he looks at the skill, he looks at all those things. You know, you can argue that, I think I can make an argument that the Kings have gotten faster as far as foot speed in the last year and a half. They've made some adjustments to their group. Are they as fast as you know, other teams? No, they're not. But they've gotten quicker. They're trying to play a system that will make that a little bit quicker. And that's what many people felt. Many people felt that when you're talking about being more creative and playing a higher tempo game, you have to tweak the system to allow that. And if there's a general concept, and it's probably very difficult to explain, maybe difficult to understand, but if your first thought is always defense, then you're not in position to go on offense. And that might be, again, we could go into a two-hour dissertation on that. It's much more fun to play offense.
Of course.
It's much more fun to be creative. But just because it's more fun doesn't mean that transition is going to be successful or efficient. And again, I think that's what the Kings are struggling with right now. They know it's more fun, but they also know what won them two Stanley Cups.
Right.
So you're constantly fighting in your mind, do I go now or do I stay back? Because in the past, we just stayed back and didn't beat ourselves.
Right. And if you look at the Penguins, they play completely opposite. They leave defense to the goalie and hope for the best. And that they've now lost five or six in a row.
Yeah, but you know what? When they won two Cups, and even last year they went deep, what they're doing is this. They're going first, thinking later.
Right.
As opposed to thinking first and going later. And that's the pressure on the puck is constant, persistent, and it rarely lets the other team get a good feel about their game. And that's what Pittsburgh did for a couple of years, and that's kind of the new thing. It's moving. That's what Vegas did last year.
Yes.
Move north, south. Get it up. Let the other team worry about us. And if you can kind of sell that and make everyone believe it, it can work.
Yeah, it's just hard because, you know, you do have these amazing defensemen, and you see when you come up against a balanced team like the Capitals or the Winnipeg Jets, who really do have good balance in their offense, defense. In Boston, for instance, this year, and the Predators, these teams are playing extremely well. Tampa Bay, They have good balance. They have really strong blue line support, but the transition from the defense to the offense is smooth, and they get through the neutral zone very well, and they're spending more time in the other team's end. And that of course, the more time you spend down that end, the more trouble it is for your opponent. And I'll tell you, it's some of these teams really have it together this year, and it's not the Ducks and the Kings that I see as in that category yet. But I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful for both of them.
It's tough for the Kings. I mean, and I'm sure there are people out there that will say this is an excuse. I would say it's a reason. I think Chicago is going through it right now. When you have the success over a period of time like the Kings did, then you get into a situation where salary cap does become an issue. Oh, yeah. And now you can overcome that, but it's going to catch up to you sooner or later. For when I'm talking about this next subject, I'm talking about on ice only. I'm not talking about off ice, because the off ice thing is a very serious concern for everyone. But losing Slava Voynov for nothing, and again, I'm not saying he shouldn't be suspended. I'm saying you take the second best defenseman off your team,
right,
and you don't replace him because you can't, because of the rules. Now you're in. So all these things have come together, and like we were just mentioning earlier, I think that the secondary group, again, the Kings have not had a lot of high draft picks lately, but you don't get high draft picks when you win.
That's right.
And then when you're winning, you're trading away picks to acquire players like Jeff Carter.
That's
and you're
right.
acquiring players like Marin Gabrick, guys who were instrumental in two cups. But then you're also going after Milan Lucic, Kashu, Sekera, who's now in Edmonton, you first-round pick for it. So you're going after those guys, and it's a decision that you have to make. And right now, those decisions certainly look bad. I'll tell you this. The Lucic deal, I thought, was okay. Again, I'm a big believer, and I was listening to the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks, Stan Bowman, today, and he disagrees with me. He's a GM.
Yeah.
He says he's not a believer in the window. I am a believer in the window, and I think that the Kings were in that window. I still think the Kings are in the window. Obviously, it seems to be closing.
Yeah.
Because of the results. I mean, it can't. But, you know, Quick, Doughty, Carter, Kopitar, okay. That's a core that very few teams have.
No, and Carter's amazing. I mean, he's such an incredible player. He's two-way.
He's just starting to skate now, though.
God.
He's had some issues this year early on, where, you know, and we believe it was physical. You know, coming off of the surgery he had last year, he had the entire summer, but there's an issue with scar tissue and tendons when it gets sliced that may never ever get back. But he is skating again. I'll mention something, and both these guys mentioned it to me, and it's interesting. Both Drew Doughty and Andrei Kopitar in the last 2 weeks mentioned the word confidence or lack of confidence. And coming from a Drew Doughty, that is a red flag for me.
Totally.
He's the most happy-go-lucky guy out there. If he makes a mistake, as he's proven in the past, he forgets it, he goes on, makes a better play the next time. He struggled this year. And, you know, does that mean every team in the league wouldn't want Drew Doughty? No. I want him. They want him. He's that good.
Yeah.
Just hasn't been to that level.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Not there yet. So with all this, you know, all these things we're talking about, which is, okay, the secondary group, and Willie Desjardins mentioned that today in practice. So that secondary group has not taken the steps to have enough chip-in support offensively to make the group work. Having said that, well, you know, Andrei's numbers are well down. And I don't believe Kopitar is going to have the same offensive numbers this year as he had last year. I expected a 15% decrease, 20% decrease. I just, that's norm. So that's why we're talking now, and the Kings are looking up at the rest of the Western Conference, because multiple things just have not come together. Last five or six, you know, three or four games, yes, it's starting to look good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to every game thinking the Kings can win. I'm going to watch. But the hole now is pretty substantial.
Yeah, it is.
Even early in the season, it's a deep hole to dig yourself out of.
It is. It's a really deep hole. When you start looking at the points that they need to get back into it, you know, those other teams aren't slowing down either. They're getting better also. So it's, you know, you see that that in the next 3 weeks they have to make tremendous strides if they're going to be in.
Yeah, you know, and the 7-game homestand the Kings are on now, it's not necessarily going like they'd hope. 5-2, you know, you're hoping 6-1, 5-2, it's not going to get there. The big concern, when you just look at the odds and numbers and chances, are that because you are on the bottom, that means you have to jump over that many more teams. For it's sure. Not necessarily the point differential, although that's a concern. It's just how many teams. We know that it's a pretty even league, so, you know, Kings need a 5 or 6 game streak, and if they get that, then they'll just be back to 500, and then they'll have to go from there. I think it's possible. I really do. I just think that, you know, and when Dustin Brown was on the lineup, believe me, I've never heard Dustin communicate as well as he did when he was on the lineup. He was just phenomenal with us.
Wow.
And he just talked about how many holes the Kings had in their game, and there were multiple holes. And he said the way to attack it was, you know, you got to look at one or two first, get that done, and then patch that up, then go. You can't do everything at once.
Right.
And I think the Kings are doing, I think the defensive zone now looks real good. It looks really solid, back to normal.
Yeah, the defense is there. I mean, Muzzin's doing his thing, and Doughty, I know, will come around. He's a miracle worker, and, you know, it'll come for them. But the hard part is getting the offense going, is sometimes that's not really the Kings' strong suit in the first place. Even last year when they made the playoffs and did well, they were always in tight games, and Kopitar did have his best season ever last year. So, you know, it offensively, he really killed it. And so if he's going to be down, then somebody has to step up. And in my estimation, just to, you know, not to you know, point fingers or anything, I really expected more, and it's not that they're doing poorly or anything. I expected more out of Kempe, Tanner Pearson, and Tyler Toffoli. These guys are incredible players. You see moments of brilliance from them that makes you go, wow, these are you know, high-ranking, skilled offensive guys. But, you know, then the games come around, they just don't put it together like there's a sense of urgency. I don't know. Maybe it was coaching, which is why there's been a coaching change. And I have tremendous, I have tremendous faith in Willie Desjardins, because I think he's a high quality coach and he's going to do very well for them. But, you know, how fast can he get it done? And can he get the wheels on Pearson and Kempe and Toffoli going? I mean, that Iafallo is incredible. They've got so many guns. It should be a very different season so far.
I think with Pearson and Kempe specifically, I think that Willie Desjardins has been trying. I noticed even more so with Pearson in his first game that Willie coached. Last half of the game, he started to, you know, put Pearson back with Toffoli and Carter. Wow. And kind of move Kovalchuk down a notch. He's trying to get him more involved and just prove to Tanner that he believes in him.
Right.
And again, that's, you know, one of the big part of a coach's job is to put a guy in a position where he can be successful. Kempe's an enigma right now because when you look at his skill, his skating, you go, the points should just be there automatically.
He's so good.
But he's struggling, and he's perhaps in his own head right now, and that's something that every player goes through at some point. I wouldn't mind to have a team that the Kings have now down the middle with, you know, Kopitar and Carter and Kempe and Nate Thompson. I think that's pretty solid down the middle. But, you know, Adrian's has, you know, one goal in the last, I don't know, 40-some games going back to last year, so it's a concern.
Yeah, I mean, that Nate Thompson, he was with the Ducks for a bit too, and he's a high-quality player too. He seems like he's really, you know, kind of coming into his own as a player. He's dangerous. He makes things happen. He's got a good vision for the ice. So, I mean, I think the Kings have all the tools. I think the Pacific Division's not going to be easy either. Nobody's giving up the games, you know.
I have to hope that they do it, because so far it has not happened.
Right.
And there are some good pieces, and there are some areas you want to improve. I mean, the Kings have been moving in some younger players over here for the fourth quarter, just looking for hoping that someone will hit and be the Jake Gensel, you know, kind of come out of the minors, and all of a sudden you're a 25, 30, 40 goal scorer. All of a, you know, that's what you're hoping for.
Well, you know, we had Emerson Etem on the podcast, and he's sitting very patiently over at the Reign, I know, waiting his time, but he's a very interesting player, and I mean, we know him pretty well. He's a great guy, but yep. Like the way he plays, you know, that's certainly something I'd be looking at. You know, yeah, I'd be looking for anything.
I mean, we're talking right now. We're talking about the potential 23rd, 24th, 25th guy on the roster.
I know. It's like you need the main guys to do it.
It's important to have depth, but yeah. And you know what? That's a constant everywhere in the National Hockey League, every market. The news stories and the coaches are asked every day about why is this guy out of the lineup and not in?
Right.
Well, again, you're talking about your 23rd, 24th, 25th guy on the roster, depending on how many guys you have injured.
Yeah.
It can't only be the top guys.
No.
But, you know, if the game of Drew Doughty doesn't become more efficient for whatever reason. And I'm struggling with that, too, because I've said it a million times on the air, I don't ever want Drew Doughty to change.
Yeah.
His outlook on the game. When I saw him a couple of weeks ago on a Canadian road trip, and he had, I don't know if he's lost his confidence, but he was doubting something. Not Drew Doughty. He was doubting what he was doing. It really was affecting him. And that's the first time I can remember in his career that he had that. He has proven time and again that he can snap out of it and then just, you know, bad play to great play.
Right.
All in one, you know, all in one shift. And that's what the Kings are hoping for. You know, you don't have Jonathan Quick right now, but I think with the way the Kings have been playing defensively, I don't think the goaltending has been an issue. There's been no bad goals. I think Jack Campbell had a struggle in Ottawa on that Canadian road trip. That's weeks ago now. But other than that, he's been more than fine. So it's back to that up-tempo, and can you move the puck, and can the puck work for you, and can you get into the offensive zone with some possession? And it's been getting better.
Yes.
But it needs to get better, as Willie said, now. There's no time.
On another note in the Pacific Division, and keeping with our defenseman kind of concept, what do you think about how things are going for the Sharks with the addition of Carlson back there with Brent Burns?
I think that, you know, I haven't seen a lot of their games, to be honest, but I've been reading a lot of stories and listening to a lot of radio and NHL radio and NHL Network on TV. It's probably another one of those things where when he was in Ottawa, he was the guy. No question. He was the guy.
Yep.
You go to a team like San Jose, you're still one of the best players, but you have a better surrounding cast around you. And I would bet, again, that he's playing a pretty solid brand of hockey. He's just not sticking out as much as he once did in Ottawa. And I think as they tweak it, there's no – whoever wants to second-guess that trade right now, it's not me.
No.
Because if I could have Brett Burns on my team and Mr. Carlson – I think I'm going to go that way as much as I possibly can. And I think that's an acquisition that you have to make. If you're in position to make it, you make it. But, you know, that mental adjustment, you're just probably trying to figure out how does he fit in now. And once he figures it out, it might be danger for the rest of the division.
Yeah, I think it's been, from what I've seen, it's been one of those things where the fitting in thing is very real. And then also, how do you change the game of the Sharks to fit Carlson? Especially the Sharks do have a boatload of talent, and they've got a lot of guys that are really playing well. And I think the Sharks are going to be very, very dangerous this year. But if they do find the groove with the Carlson and Burns, it could be really tough for everybody else, because that team is pretty packed with talent. There are guys on that team that I thought this Timo Meier, you know, coming up is – he is really sharp.
Outstanding.
Don't you think?
Yeah, outstanding player. Very, just coming into his own. He was a high pick. He's figuring it out. The consistency is no longer an issue. He's there every night.
For sure.
Back to Carl. I mean, I use it every once in a while. It's San Jose doesn't need more from him. They just need more of the same, more of the same provided in the past. And when you have a change of venue like he has, sometimes you get to a new team and you say, oh, I got to do all these things. No. You don't need to do more. You just need more of the same.
Right.
Keep giving us what you gave us in the past or what you gave Ottawa. Just, it's all we need. We don't need anything more. But again, he won't stick out as much in San Jose as he did in Ottawa. He just won't, because the team around him was better. I mean, having said that, I mean, Ottawa 2 years ago went, you know, double overtime away from making the Eastern Final. So it's one of those things where, you know, they were knocking on the door for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
it's true. He was a huge part of that.
Yeah, Patrick Hornquist put that one to bed in that last game. I remember that goal. That was really close for them, and they played great. And Carlson played. He was playing out of his head that whole series.
Yeah. He was playing on a team that didn't attack, and he was the only guy that attacked on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he was basically the only – they just, you know, kitty barred the door. They played solid defense. They had this 1-3-1 neutral zone. No one's getting through. It slowed it down. And then when he attacked, that was it. But now he's finding a way to be part of a group that has much more talent.
What do you think the chances of Washington repeating the Stanley Cup this year? Do you think they have a shot at it?
Yeah, I think they have a shot. I mean, I'm looking at their team. Again, you're looking at, core. I'm looking at core. So you have right down the middle, I mean, you have two centermen that are phenomenal. And then you have Carlson back on the blue line. And then you have Holtby, who's, you know, that's watching him recently, his game has really come around. So they have a good mix there. I haven't even mentioned Ovechkin's name yet. So, you know, that's, yeah, that's where you're kind of, and he's filling the net again.
Yes.
They certainly have a chance. I don't necessarily put them in that category.
Right.
With the up-tempo teams that are playing now. They're not slow by any means. But, you know, you have Backstrom and Kuznetsov. I mean, Kuznetsov, I respect Ovechkin in the world. The best player in the playoffs last year was Kuznetsov. Yeah. There's no question in my mind. Yeah, and I know Ovechkin's the and there is maybe some intangibles to that value term that you use, because you know, he is the leader, the unquestioned leader of that team. He's a veteran guy. He was, you know, first pick, and he's been around so long. But if I watch the games, and who's the best player? Kuznetsov was the best player. So yeah, they have a lot to work with. It's just a matter of being through it, not as a player, but watching the Kings, you know, in that four-year period where they were really good and won twice. It's everything has to go right.
It does. It's all got to line up at the right time, also, because the playoffs are it's a timing issue. Everybody's got to be healthy. They got to be ready to go the distance, and then you got to have a hot goalie.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Well, listen, Jim, I really appreciate you taking the time. This is great, and I will definitely be down at some of the Kings games too. So if I'm jumping down there, I'll let you know. And let's hope the guys get it together.
My pleasure. Anytime. Great talking hockey.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Let's take a break from the show so we can tell you about our sponsor, Indochino. Indochino it's Indochino.com. This is a company that makes custom menswear. And the way that they do it is you can go to their website or you can go to one of their showrooms. But for all intents and purposes, you can do everything on their website. They will make you a custom suit for $359 with the promo code Dr. Hockey, which you use at checkout. If you would like to get a suit that is fitted to you, it's built for you, you'll go to the website, you'll put your measurements in, you'll need a tape measure, I would assume, and you would then send those measurements into Indochino, and they will, and you pick your finishes, you pick the color, whatever you want. And normally these suits are about $750, which is still incredible, but with this promo code, you can get a $359 custom premium suit sent to your house, your apartment, wherever you live. If you have a shanty, a tent, I don't care. Wherever you want, it will be sent to you, and you will look good because it will be custom fit. It's not an off-the-rack suit, so it doesn't have to be fitted to you. It's made for you. Indochino.com. You can also go to their showrooms. There is one in Los Angeles. They're all around the country. I highly recommend you check out this company and see what it is that they can do for you so that you can look awesome in a suit that actually fits you. So go to Indochino.com. You're going to get a 50% discount at your checkout by using the promo code Dr. Hockey, and you will get a custom suit sent to you for $359. I don't know where else you can get a suit for that. The shipping is free. This is an incredible deal. It's for the listeners to the Dr. Hockey podcast because the promo code is Dr. Hockey, DRHOCKEY, Indochino.com. Do it now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.